No te despegues de nuestra programación. Sigue con Encuentro Radio. Estás escuchando Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342.
From Colombia,
the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria,
we're bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirror Voices.
Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Brought to you by CEPAL and Encuentro Radio.
Can you hear me?
Face the burning heat. I just think about my baby. I'm so full of love I could barely eat. There's nothing sweeter than my baby. I'd never want once from the cherry tree. 'Cause my baby, sweet as can be, she'd give me two fakes just from kissing me. When my time comes around, lay me gently in the cold dark earth. No grave can hold my body down. I'll crawl home to her. Boys, when my baby found me, I was 3 days on a drunken sin. I woke with the walls around me, nothing in her room but an empty crib. Burning up a fever, I didn't care much how long I lived, but I swear I thought I dreamed her. She never asked me once about the wrong I did. When my time comes around, lay me gently in the cold dark earth. No grave can hold my body down. I'll crawl. Body done. If the Lord don't forgive me, I'd still have my baby and my babe would have me. But I was kissing on my baby and she put her love down soft and sweet. In the lonely light I was free. Heaven and hell were words to me. When my time comes around, lay me gently in the cold dark earth. No grave can hold my body down. I'll crawl home to her. When my time comes around, lay me gently in the cold dark earth. No grave can hold my body down. I'll crawl.
Good afternoon, good morning for everyone who is listening to us today. And Mariana, I'm here with Michelle, and actually we are back with Hannah.
Yay. Woo, back on this continent.
Yeah. Hi, Michelle, how are you?
Adulting is hard. No. That's all I can say. Mm-hmm. But I'm alive, thank God.
Yeah.
Hannah,
how are you?
I'm good. I was for like 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks away in Europe on a work trip, but also a little bit of vacation sightseeing kind of thing. You know, you do a work meeting in the morning and then you kind of have the rest of the day free, which was fun. I was in Germany, Switzerland, Italy, and Spain. And I had never been to Europe before this, so that was fun and exciting.
Yeah.
So it was great, but it was a long 3 weeks away from you guys, away from my dog, away from my boyfriend, away from work that I really do enjoy. So I'm kind of glad to be tired, but glad to be back.
We are happy that you be back here. Actually, the topic for today that we are going to talk about is World Day and Gay Child Labor. Who want to start?
I could go.
Okay.
So maybe before we dive deeper into the topic, we can talk about the history of the day. Mm-hmm. So the initiative of World Day Against Child Labor was taken when ILO launched World Day Against Child Labor in 2002. This first event was held in ILO headquarters in Geneva, aimed to bring global attention to the widespread problem and galvanize action towards ending it. And this year's theme for World Day Against Child Labor is Let's Act on Our Commitments and Child Labor.
I think that's like a common thing talking about these like UN days of like, yes, okay, we have these agreements, mm-hmm. and now let's actually act on them, let's put them into motion, put them into policy, into practice, because we have a lot of these like awareness days. And the development goals and all those things, but they're things that sometimes sound nice, and then, like, what's actually being done to achieve them.
I know. For that, I respect Melinda Gates, who was, like, the wife of Bill Gates, because she actually pledged to donate a huge sum of money towards women's rights all over the world. Which I thought was interesting, because it's not only just talking about it, but she's actually doing something.
Like put your money where your mouth is.
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Actually, you talk about that a little bit in the last program of Aloha Chupichu.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I guess that it's so important that more women like that have a lot of power, trying to support other women that maybe not have the opportunity to maybe have a house or different things that obviously we have it. Hannah, you want to continue?
Sure. I was thinking about, like, for child labor laws, and it got me thinking about child actors and child pop stars and all of those things, and how their situation relates to child labor laws. I can jump into that if you'd like.
Yeah.
So I was looking, this is a especially in the U.S., the U.S. Fair Labor Standard Act, which, you know, talks about labor rights, does not apply to child performers. So that in the U.S., there are laws protecting children against, you know, labor, having to work under a certain age, or to make sure that there are protections in place so that they're not put to work or taken out of school to work and all those things, which obviously has a long history of being an issue. People often, you know, had children work on farms, work on, you know, delicate machinery because they're smaller and they can fit into those, like, hard-to-reach places and do things. Mm-hmm. You can pay children a lot less than you can pay, you know, full-grown men. So women and children were often, you know, taken advantage of in that sense. If children did get paid for their work, it was paid directly to their parents, and so the kids didn't actually get anything. I mean, it went to the family, you know, this idea that, like, children are part of supporting the family. And then in the Industrial Revolution, as it became more work with machinery and more work that was dangerous, kids were getting seriously injured and hurt and died at work because there were no protections for them. And so there was the new regulations and new laws. However, child performers were left out of that. So kids that are actors or singers or models, which we see a lot of now, were not included in those protections.
Yeah.
So some states, I was looking at the U.S. government site. This is from numbers in 2023, talking about like each individual state, how they deal with child performers, because there is no national standard. The national standard is this doesn't apply to child performers. States, you can figure out what you want to do, basically. Which means that there's a pretty drastic difference in how that looks. So some states, like California, for example, where, you know, Hollywood is, and where there's more child actors, has more protections, has more things to protect children. So there are states like that that require work permits, that outline regulations on schooling, saying, like, how many days of school they're allowed to miss for that work, having access to a private tutor, or being able to make up for missed classes or missed tests or things to make sure that their education doesn't suffer because of the work that they're doing. There are some that talk about limiting the number of consecutive days you're allowed to work, because sometimes if you're, like, on a movie or a TV show, those can be, like, long days on set. So there are limits of how many days or how many hours they're allowed to work. Some states have requirements that the employer must be registered with the Bureau of Labor. And in some cases, they can also require that a trust fund be set up for the child, with a portion of the money that they're earning go into the trust fund that they can use when they reach a certain age.
Interesting.
As opposed to the money going all to their parents or agents, or sometimes their parents are their agents. But making sure that the child has something for when they're older. But not every state has that. Other states have absolutely nothing.
Okay.
So there's on the website that the U.S. government has, there's like a list, there's a table, and it goes by state, and it will say, like, are there regulations, yes or no? Are work permits required, yes or no? And then a column to talk about the different laws. And there are some states that just, like, nope, nope, blank. And so, really, those states have no protection for child actors or performers or singers or things like that.
It's interesting, because now that you've talked about it, it has made me think, like, is life ever normal for those child actors? Yeah, like, I mean,
exactly.
Because literally they don't get to go to school like normal kids. And obviously their schedules are different, like even the way they eat, like they have to be careful with everything. And I'm like, is that any way for a child to live? Or?
No, they don't have a normal life, and I get that's something so difficult. I don't know if you saw the documentary set all online.
I didn't see it, but I heard a lot about it when it came out, yeah.
It's so difficult, listen, how this kid, like, so famous from Nickelodeon, they suffer a lot. Actually, one of the most famous about talking about this was Drake Bell, that he played in Drake and Josh. And I guess it's so difficult because he right now said that he never gave the opportunity that himself be an actor. Never, because obviously I'm not going to say anything more because maybe I do a spoiler of the documentary. But yeah, it's so difficult how many people, how many child not have a normal life just because they start so young in this like production.
And sometimes it's not guaranteed that when they become adults, they'll continue acting. Probably people will be like, oh, you're not cute anymore, so we cannot hire you.
And there are, you know, a lot of examples. I know also Jeanette McCurdy, who was also a child Nickelodeon star, wrote a memoir about after her mom died. And she talked about a lot of this, of kind of like being forced into acting in the industry and having to look a certain way, and, you know, kind of this abusive relationship with her mom as well, that was kind of all around this finding success as an actress. And as a girl actress, you have to look a certain way, and you have to act a certain way, and you have to, you know, all of these pressures on someone who's like a teenager, someone who's a kid.
Yeah.
And there have been, you know, lots of child actors who you kind of see, the ones who try to stay in the spotlight end up kind of spiraling out of control.
Yeah.
Because they also get involved with a lot of drugs or alcohol or scandals or, you know, and a lot of them have talked about the toll that being, having such attention on them and being in that spotlight at such a young age was very difficult. And it's still continuing on today. And I think usually we don't talk about the arts or the entertainment industry when we're talking about child labor. We're often talking about, you know, physical labor and kids, you know, having to work to support their families and those things. But I think it's a way, it's a very normalized form of child labor that we accept.
Yeah.
Because obviously if we're watching TV and they're children or a movie, you know, and we don't really think about the actor who's the kid who's being put in those positions.
True.
Yeah.
This gets even more confusing and messed up when we bring it into social media.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the past few years, more and more you see influencers on YouTube, on Instagram, on TikTok, of these, like, family influencers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the few laws or regulations that do exist, which, again, depend on states, and I'm sure can depend widely on what country you're in as well, are usually just for theater, TV, film, maybe radio, and, like, modeling or something. Hasn't really caught up to the way that we consume most of our content now online and on social media. So, for example, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram pays creators, content creators, to publish content, like, you know, to make sure that people are coming back to their website. And there are content creators that accept, you know, advertising and sponsorships and all those things. And it becomes their full-time job. And there have also been recently more and more people who really, like, blur that line between private and public and work life. So if you're, like, an influencer and you're pregnant and you're talking all about your pregnancy journey and here are the, you know, sponsored by these products that are meant to help with that and a video about the birth story and a video about, you know, turning everything in their life into content, which, I mean, is up to them if they want to do that or not. The issue that more and more people are starting to talk about is their children.
True.
So a lot of these, like, family content creators are using, obviously, their family in the content that they create that people want to watch. Like, oh, this kid's so cute. They're so funny.
Even animals. They're doing it with animals, too. I've seen a lot of cat videos where you're like,
they're so
cute. Poor kid. What are they doing to this kid?
And there have been, I think at one point there was, like, a checklist that someone released of, like, okay, our family's going to Disneyland for vacation, and here are all the different videos that we need to record on that vacation in order to publish for, like, for work. And so people start to question, like, well, at what point do you consider your children work? Like, are, where's the line between your children interacting with their parent and performing for an online audience? And so there's a lot of, there's a lot of questions still, a lack of, like, clarity and protection and laws, because those kids are, their whole life is basically being put on Instagram, on YouTube, on TikTok, without any kind of, like, regulation for child protection, child labor laws. And at some point you say, well, but it's my family, it's my kid, it's my profile, you know, I can do what I want. And so there's, like, that ambiguity that, you know, mix of what, at what point does the law or should the law step in or not at all, or how do we protect children, actors, both on TV and film, but also on social media?
Yeah, and I guess it's so difficult because these kids that have, like,
a lot of opportunity to be in the social media, mm-hmm. and you never know what happened in the social media, mm-hmm. because actually there was like an experiment, like a girl use a phone and have like 100 guys in front. Obviously, she can saw the face, mm-hmm. and she started talking with them. And the last person like be with her was like, I don't know how do you say that in English, pedófilo.
A pedophile.
Yeah. So how we know how the kids is working on the mm-hmm. social media, because actually not just in the social media, in the entertainment you can find old men like Dan Schneider mm-hmm. that rape a lot of girls and a lot of boys, and you like trust on that person because have power and all these things. So it's difficult.
It really is, because it actually makes people think, because we don't know what's happening behind the scenes mm-hmm. with these child actors, and we also don't know what type of audience that they are attracting, mm-hmm. because yeah. it could be like leaving them vulnerable to mm-hmm. like pedophiles, like you said, which is not okay at all.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what the solution is either, because it would be pretty difficult to just, like, you know, say child actors are no longer allowed, or, you know, mm. because thinking of, you know, as a kid also, like, watching movies or shows that are made for children, you see kids part of growing up and looking up to them, but that also places a lot of spotlight and responsibility on kids that they don't necessarily need.
Yeah.
Mm. It's also going to be hard to like restrict parents from publishing things about their own kids on their own social media content, which I think is very tricky. But more and more we see that kind of struggle of social. Our life is both physical and online, and so being able to manage that and I don't know, make sure that we're protected in both atmospheres, I think is getting harder and harder, and especially for children that are growing up having to navigate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I guess talking about Hannah said, I remember the movie Mi Pobre Angelito. I don't know.
Oh, I think that is it, the Christmas one?
Yeah.
Home Alone, yeah.
And how this boy that I hear mm-hmm. finished yeah. so bad, and he has like a lot of problem with drugs, with mm-hmm. alcohol, because he never like, the parents never like trying to put limits on how many money he have. Mm-hmm. And we know how it's so dangerous, like the people and the young kids be like so open in this world.
Mm-hmm.
We never know the kids what decision it's gonna take.
Because usually the laws against child labor or you know, not having to work as children, so that you can have your childhood and play and grow mm-hmm. and have schooling and yeah. education and all those things. So when those opportunities are taken away or significantly altered because mm-hmm. you're also making money and working, yeah. That really affects your childhood, which affects your development,
yeah.
and obviously has effects later in life.
Yeah, it's difficult. Maybe we can go with a little quick song and we are back.
Yes.
Yo no voy a avergonzarme de estas lágrimas, ni callar mi corazón, ni rendirme en el perdón, porque sincero lo que soy, no bajaré mi bandera. Cada paso y cada huella tuya es única, de la cabeza a los pies. Cada uno es como es, por eso déjame vivir. Yo elegiré la manera. Pienso seguir al borde del sol. Aunque digan lo que digan, yo soy más fuerte si me dicen no. A todos se nos quiebra la voz. En todos hay un poco.
rescata de tu alma esta flor y olvidará su sexo y color. Yo soy igual a ti, tú eres igual a mí y es uno solo el amor. Siempre más de una visión de la película, otros modos de mirar, muchas formas de escribir y nadie tiene la verdad. Las voces son infinitas. No voy a cambiar la historia de esta América. Suena fuerte mi canción. Yo defiendo la razón y no hay granada ni cañón que ahuyente a un hombre que grita. Pienso seguir al borde del sol, aunque digan lo que digan, yo soy más fuerte si me dicen no. A todos se nos quiebra la voz, en todos hay un poco de Dios. Yo soy igual a ti, tú eres igual a mí, y es uno solo.
So right now I'm gonna talk you guys how is the child work right now. So the International Labor Organization and the UNICEF warned that 9 million more children are at risk due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So in 2019, they're like talking that maybe be like 150 million child labor, but right now we are in 160 million. Wow. And right now this is not like for this year. It's just for 2021.
Oh, so not even up to date.
Yeah, it's so difficult because they're obviously continue studying how we can work to trying to no more children continue working, but I guess here in Latin America grow up when Venezuela have a lot of problem and a lot of people need to go out to Venezuela. I need come to Colombia, to other countries, and I guess that you can saw not just in the Transmilenio, also in the street here in Bogota, a lot of kids trying to sell candies, mm-hmm. trying to sell something, mm-hmm. because they live in a part of here Bogota that call in the center, San Bernardo, different part, that they need to pay like the room every day.
Okay.
You need to pay like 20,000 Colombian pesos every day that you can get there. If not, you need to go out.
Oh, no.
That here we call paga diario, that every day you need to pay for that. And actually, you just pay for that, for be like have a place to stay, but you no pay for the food. You need obviously continue found what thing you're gonna eat. Obviously, here in Colombia, every girl and boy have the opportunity to enter to public school here, mm-hmm. but obviously it's so difficult because it's like you go in the morning, but in the afternoon the child it's free. So the child, what's gonna do? So there's other like possibility that it's so difficult to understand how it's so difficult. And obviously there's a lot of people then talking about that we can finish this child labor with education, but it's not so easy because if you stay like studying, your family, what you are gonna eat in the night. Obviously it's so difficult because you can find a lot of story that there's child that need to take care about their brothers and sister because the mom or dad can do more than job and have a job and anything else. So I guess if this continue be a difficult topic because there's obviously more child like trying to work, obviously you can find like different option than the boys and the girls can found like work, but obviously I guess the less than no have child was in child labor in rural areas. Obviously you can work there, but it's so difficult because if like a old man no have the enough money in the rural areas work in that, how is gonna be a child? And actually, I don't know, Hannah or Michelle, you saw a TikToker actually called El Borrego, La Granja El Borrego?
I don't think so.
But you can find. He, a lot of years ago, right now, no, because obviously he's more now, he sell eggs in the street.
Okay.
Because he no have any option more for the family. Right now, obviously, he have the opportunity to be so famous right now, but he said that was so difficult in the moments because he get like close to a car and the person in the clouds like turn the window up.
Ooh, no.
And he said like, I'm just trying to find something to my family, like have money. So you can saw that obviously not just in the city, I guess in the rural areas you can saw child working because obviously you need to find the money to give food your family.
That is true, and it has me thinking because it's the same in my country. We already have a name for them. They're called street kids. Which I don't think is right. But then they are street kids. It's like the parents send the kids like at the robos, like the traffic lights, so that they can like try to beg and sell things. And some of these kids even resort to like stealing, which is not okay because like we as other people we don't recognize that these children are facing a lot of difficulties and they need help. Instead, as adults, we walk in fear that maybe some street kid is going to grab my wig or my umbrella or something like that, which is not okay. And especially for the girl child, because sometimes they have to resort to prostitution at a younger age so that they can be able to support their families. And sometimes it's not like a family per se, because maybe the like the parents ran away and then it's just the kids with no accommodation or anything whatsoever. And it also has me thinking about the situation in like the mining towns here in Colombia, where we see that they're actually young children that have started working in mines because they don't have anything else to do in order to support their families. And that not only affects their health, but it also means that they are no longer going to have the education that is their right because of that, which is very sad. It's a very sad situation, really.
Yeah, it's difficult. Actually, in one of the last programs of Malpensadas, I talk about a podcast that I found in YouTube that it's Hablando Entre Valientes, that I guess, oh my God, it's so difficult because right now, obviously, the situation with the drugs here in Colombia always be difficult.
Yeah.
But actually, you can feel like in different parts, more here in Bogota, that's something that I know, they take the children. Like in the zone of the drugs, they take the children that the children sell the drugs in the street. And this podcast is like a mom that she know that the girl was taken and she like put himself in the side, called San Bernardo, that it's in the so close to the center, and she looked how was like a young girl, obviously taking drugs because the mom never go out to the drugs, so the girl stay with the mom, but it's so difficult. So the young boys and girls are selling drugs because obviously not have other opportunity.
Which is very sad and also dangerous. And you never know, because, for example, in my country, we have something that is called smoking glue. I don't really know how that works, which I feel like is one of the problems that those children are most likely to face, that sometimes eventually they're going to turn to the drugs and start using them. And that is very dangerous, because we don't know who the employer is and how they're going to handle it. And it's something that is also going to affect their health, which is very sad, really.
Yeah, you can saw the episode. You can found, like, in Spotify, Hablando Entre Valientes. And I guess it's so difficult because, obviously, like, all the story, it's so difficult to understand, like, trying to understand how big it's like the mom's love. You can find the name is Devastado Relato de Mujer que se infiltró en el barrio San Bernardo. Right now there's obviously a lot of problem because the person that killed the girl, he's trying to go out to the jail. So it's like a difficult situation, but she explained more how is the kids selling drugs in obviously in Bogota. It's difficult.
Yeah. And you also hear stories of, like, you know, manipulating or using kids to manipulate people.
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, it's harder to say no to this little kid asking for money, talking about how they're, you know, they can't afford to eat or they need help. And then there's people who say no, but it's not true that there are people that borrow other people's kids to go on Transmilenio to say, look at my daughter, we need to, and then kind of a way to, like, manipulate people, like, so that they feel bad and give more money. But also, like, if they really are in a situation where they're relying on strangers donating money on the bus in order to eat, and they're looking for a way to get more money, you know, it's also kind of like, well, I guess I understand, but I don't necessarily
it's
agree,
difficult.
But it's not, they shouldn't have to do that.
Actually,
no one should have to do that.
Actually, it's difficult. I take Transmilenio every day, and I saw that, and when I saw a child, it's like so difficult for me not give money, because, well, old person, I know there's other people, like, buying food, buying other things, but saw a child trying to say, I'm hungry, I don't have anything, I with my sisters, like, oh my God, I have food, take. Yeah, it's difficult, saw that, but actually there was, like, a big notice here that appeared that there are people taking a kid to trying to get money in the Transmilenio, but really don't know if that is true or no. It's so difficult know that.
I also feel the same way, because it's not only kids, there are people who do that with dogs. Because it's like, in my mind, it's like, oh my God, this person probably doesn't have enough to feed himself. What about this poor dog?
Yeah.
He needs, like, dog food. What's going to happen? And at the same time, there's no guarantee that if you give that person money, they're going to buy food for the dog. Which is also difficult.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think we can go with a little quick song, and we are back to say goodbye.
You were a boy once when I was small, a towhead blonde with eyes of salt. You played the drum in the marching band. Parents cared more about the Bible than being good to their own child. He wore long sleeves because of his dad. And somehow he fell out of touch. Hope he took his bad deal and made a royal flush. Don't know if I'll see you again someday. If you're out middle school friend grew up alone. She raised her brothers on her own. Her parents hated who she was. She couldn't wait to go to college. She was tired cause she was brought into a world where family was merely blood. Does she know how proud I am she was created with the courage to unlearn all of their hatred? We don't talk much, but I just gotta say I miss you. I hope that you're okay.
I trust the letter. Holes in my butterfly wings. Nothing's forever. Nothing was as good as it seems. When the clouds iron out, the monsters creep into your house. Every door is hard to close.
Well, I hope you know how proud I am you were created with the courage to unlearn all. God, I hope that you're happier too.
Well, thank you to all the people that listen us today. We listen the other week. Hannah, thank you for coming back again.
My
we
pleasure.
Missed you.
It's nice to be back. Thank you,
Osmond. We missed you, and Phoebe, you also too. Missed our goodbye program with Phoebe.
I did. Yeah. Oh, so, I was so mad when she said what her departure date was. I was like, no, I'm going to be in Europe.
Yeah. Was a little bit sad in the last moment of the program.
No. Yeah, Mariana cried.
No, that's not true. I cry a lot every day, but in that program, no. And I'll let you picture a little bit.
I remember my last program in that time it was called Otra Etapa. And like one by one everyone started crying. I was like, I don't think this makes good radio. But
yeah, it's saying goodbye. It's so difficult. And that's really something hard. That the people need to understand.
So Phoebe, we miss you.
Yeah, we
sending
love
you love in Peru. Hope everything's going well.
Yeah. Well, thank you everyone. Thank you Hannah. Thank you Michelle. We listen the other week. And no more. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you Mariana.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody searching for a hero. People need someone to look up.